Welcome to the 285th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Marshall Ulrich, an extreme endurance athlete and the author of Both Feet on the Ground. And just so you know, today is August 14th, 2020, and today on Amazon Prime Video, they launched the Eco Challenge Fiji, which is a 10-episode video series chronicling the latest Eco Challenge adventure race, which Marshall participated in. Marshall is an ultimate endurance athlete and has run more than 130 ultramarathons, 17 expedition-length adventure races, and climbed the seven summits all on his first attempts. So stay tuned for my interview with Marshall Ulrich, author of Both Feet on the Ground. Stay tuned for the interview. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Marshall Ulrich, the author of the new book, Both Feet on the Ground, Reflections from the Outside. Marshall is an extreme endurance athlete, ultra running icon, seven summits mountaineer, and adventure racer. He's raced, led expeditions, or climbed mountains in nearly 30 countries and visited 30 more. Marshall, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on.
Sure. Well, if someone listening hasn't heard about your new book, Both Feet on the Ground, Reflections from the Outside, how would you describe the book?
Well, what it does is I take the four elements, of course, earth, wind, fire, and water, and I divide the book up into segments and take, for instance, the obvious choice or story that I use for air is climbing Mount Everest in the seven summits. For fire, it's bad water. But what the essence of the book is to get outside. It's crucial to your mental health and physical health to disconnect from all the gadgets that we have and connect with nature. And, you know, how nature fills you with gratitude. And I address other things, too, like diet. Don't fall into the marketing gimmicks and, you know, buy into all that stuff. Facing fears about, some people have a fear about getting into the outside, especially children these days. So that's kind of what the book is about. It's just becoming grounded with those primitive needs that we have, basically.
And so what led you to writing Both Feet on the Ground?
Well, my first book, Running on Empty, it chronicled running across the United States. And I thought, well, you know, this is all well and good. I did not tell the stories that some people would have liked me to have told, such as climbing Mount Everest. And so it was a way to incorporate all of those, a lot of the things that I did in a succinct message that I wanted to convey to people to get outside and reconnect with nature. So I don't think I'm going to write any more books. It's just way too difficult, Jeff. It took me a couple of years to write the first one, and this one, it took me 6 or 7 years. So it's kind of what I'm leaving people with, the message that I would really like to convey.
And so have you been a lifelong athlete yourself?
No, not at all. At 28 years old, my first wife got cancer, and she passed away at 30 years old. And I started running just to deal with the stress, keep my blood pressure down. And I found that I had a knack for it. And I started, I got better and better as the distances sort of spread out. So I became what is called an ultra runner. Not that that's good or bad, but anyhow, it allowed me to kind of gain some peace with myself. And honestly, it kind of prolonged the grieving process for me by about 10 years, just because, I had something else to focus on. So there's good and bad with everything. There was, you know, the good parts of it, because I was able to get outside, I was able to do something that I love. But the bad part was, is that I didn't do the work of grieving.
That's tough. So
You mentioned diet earlier. Without getting into deep into details, what kind of diet do you follow?
Well, and that's an easy question to answer, because what I recommend to people is, you know, staying away from these engineered foods as much as you can, finding out where your food comes from, what the food source is. So in other words, you know, go out and do some gardening, you know, get your hands dirty, dig in the earth. And, you know, that's one way to reconnect, but really know where your food source comes from and educate yourself a little bit more and don't fall into these gimmicks. And Jeff, as you probably know, you know, 10 years, or let's say 20 years ago, 30 years ago, caffeine was a bad thing. Then all of a sudden they say it's a good thing. Now you're hearing things about fat. Oh, it was bad. Now it's good. So things are still changing, and the human body is very, very, it's kind of a mystery still. And so there are all sorts of diets out there. And what I would say is just eat logically. And, you know as much as possible where the food source comes from, and do stay away from some of the preservatives and things like that, but just don't go crazy with it. It costs you a lot of money, number one, and sometimes I don't think the health benefits are what they're all cracked up to be or what they say they're going to be.
Sure. So earlier you mentioned getting into ultra running because of the death of your first wife and you're dealing with grief. At this point, what do you feel like drives you to compete in ultra running and adventure races?
I think it's kind of part of who I am. I've been building this sort of base and just kind of upping the challenges over the years. And you know, I enjoy that, but I think as I grow older, I've got some limitations, you know, as far as, you know, I can't go as fast as I could, as far as I could, and so on. But I think it's important to keep the juices flowing, you know, to keep that fire burning in your belly, to always have these goals going on. So that's a big part of it. And the other part of it is that I want to set an example for other people. I'll be 69 years old here, you know, in another month. And, you know, I'm still very active. I can still go out and do, take for instance, like this 135 mile Badwater race and stuff like that. So I don't back off. I don't do things as well. I don't pay as much attention to training. Number one, because I don't have to. And the second thing is that I want to do things that I really enjoy. And one of those is spending a lot of time with my family. So, you know, my priorities have changed quite a bit, but I still have that desire to get out into the outside and push myself and, you know, just kind of test myself.
Well, on the one hand, there are many Americans now pursuing their fitness journeys. CrossFit, Orange Theory has witnessed many transformations of people going from a sedentary lifestyle. And then you have Spartan races and obstacle races growing in popularity. But at the same time, there are still the statistics that everyone sees, unfortunately, growing obesity rates and the other health problems that kind of cascade from that obesity and sedentary lifestyle. What do you think keeps some Americans from taking that leap into kind of a fitness journey, so to speak?
Well, I don't think it's much of a leap at all. I think it's the big leap is just going from being sedentary to just getting outside, and it can look very different for people. People may look at some of the things that I've done and they'll say, "Oh wow," and you know, I'm impressed, but you know, I could never do that, and so, you know, why should I even try? And I don't think that you can compare yourself to anybody else. You know, going out and simply getting started, take for instance, walk around the block once and then just kind of increase it. So you don't have to be running. You can be walking. You can be bicycling. You can just be going out into nature, getting out on a trail for maybe a mile or two and just sitting on a rock and enjoying nature and absorbing it all. So it can look very different for a lot of people, and I think anybody can do it. And some people are afraid of getting outside, or they're afraid of how that might look, or maybe they're a little bit overweight or something, and how does that look, and I'm embarrassed to go outside. And it's about overcoming some of those very basic fears that we all have. And let me emphasize that we all have those fears. I have fears of going out into the outside. We just did a race in Fiji, and we're in the jungle, and the jungle can be a very fearful place, especially when it gets dark and it's raining, or you're out in the ocean paddling and things like that. And I have to just put those in a proper place and just continue on and just do what I know is good for myself. And that's just being out there and in the act of doing things.
Well, you just mentioned Fiji, and I was going to ask you, with your adventure racing team, the Stray Dogs, you've competed in all 9 Eco Challenges, which are elite endurance races organized by Mark Burnett, the producer of the TV show Survivor. You competed most recently in the Return of the Eco Challenge Fiji in September last year, 2019. What was that latest Eco Challenge experience like for you?
It was fantastic. And of course, what I did is I got together some of the old Stray Dogs, Bob Haw, and then pulled a couple of new people on. I'd raced with Adrian Crane quite a bit. But the interesting thing about it was, and I just wanted to touch base on this because it's age specific, is that the last Eco Challenge that we did, it just happened to be in Fiji also. That's kind of, where they have Survivor. Mark Burnett is a big part of that. So, we went back to Fiji, and I put together this team. The first team that we had in Fiji was, we were 52 years old, the average age, and we were the oldest team then. So here we are 17 years later, and our average age was 66 years old. And I did that purposefully so that, I could show people it's going to be televised. It'll be televised on Prime and Amazon Prime. It'll be a 10-part series from what my understanding is coming out this fall. But I want people to see that they're not too old. It's never too old to start. So, but that experience was much the same. It was cold. It was miserable. Fiji has one side of it that is in kind of the shadow side, and it's very, very cold. Plus you have the sunny side that most people are familiar with. So, we had a little dose of everything. And the thing that was really unusual, or sort of, I felt, was kind of out of place, they have paddle boarding in it. And I think that's to attract some of the newer viewers. So it has a little bit of everything for everyone. But, it's a tough race. It's not the Survivor, the can type thing that you have. I mean, it's real life. So I love doing that stuff because it has a lot of problem solving too involved to just get yourself forward.
Well, I know that the Spartan Beast in Vermont in 2018, that there was a 78-year-old woman who ran the race. I actually ran it myself that day. It was an 8.5-hour race, 30-plus obstacles, up and down a tall ski mountain 3 different times. And so there was a big newspaper article about the 78-year-old woman. I'm curious, what words of advice would you offer for older people who think they can't do these types of physical challenges or participate in physical activity?
Well, I think the biggest limiting factor is, some people may not have like good knees, or their hips are hurting, or they're not able to actually go out and, run, or, even walk effectively, but they can bicycle. So I think, and I find this myself too, I'm not able to do what I used to do. I'm a lot slower. I have aches and pains that crop up here and there. So, I would say that do what you can with what you've got, no matter what your age is. The biggest thing is to just get outside and do something. And, for as far as that's concerned, if you're comfortable just getting in the gym and lifting weights and stuff like that, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is connecting with nature sort of, it has a healing aspect to it that you can't get in a gym.
Gotcha. So you alluded to earlier your first book, Running on Empty, which chronicled your run across America. What was that experience like?
That was absolutely the hardest thing that I ever did. Take, for instance, I have like three categories that I put everything into. Climbing Mount Everest was probably the most technical. Sure, it was difficult. You know, the lack of oxygen makes it very technical, as well as I climbed from the north side. So, you know, that's kind of rock strewn. And it also has, you know, it's very windy there. The most dangerous thing that I ever did was with Dave Heckman, and we did a circumnavigation. It lasted 16 days. We circumnavigated the perimeter of Death Valley. This was back, I think, in 2013. It was 425 miles. We buried 33 caches, did it in July and August, and we, you know, dig these caches. I've almost lost my life on the side of a hill coming out of the Saline Valley. So that was the most dangerous, but by far the most difficult thing was running across America, because I was averaging close to 60 miles per day. I was 57 years old. And the toughest thing was, is you go to bed at night and I'd think to myself, you know, my whole life is running. I can accept that. But it's so difficult to just drag yourself out of bed every day. And what do you have to look forward to, you know, covering another 60 miles? Now, of course, what happens with so many things, and what the reason I'd like to point this out to people, is you have to get started to actually accomplish something. You know, that's very obvious. So I'd get out there on the road, and after a mile or two, you know, everything would fall away. I would get in that comfort zone, and I'd just carry on throughout the day. And, you know, I'd let my mind drift. You know, I'd go here and there with my psyche, and, you know, I was really comfortable. So, you know, the thing is you have to go out there and you have to get started.
So did you have a support team when you were doing that run across America?
Absolutely. I had four people with me. Two would be on about an 8-hour shift, and then another two would come out for another 8 or 9 hours. So I was running typically about 17, 18 hours a day, and I was sleeping about 4.5, and the rest was just kind of maintenance, you know, doing massages. I had some plantar fasciitis that was going on, so we'd have to ice my feet and legs probably about every 20 miles or so. So, yeah, my crew was essential. And that's the other thing I'd like to point out, too. Much of what I did, much of my success wasn't just me. I had to have that support system. So, you know, I would say to people, you know, get your family behind what you're doing and get them to participate with you in it on some level. So, you know, it's just all those things that lead to success.
Great. Well, I know that some endurance athletes have written or discussed that endurance events are more mental than physical challenges. How do you cope mentally when you're at a low point during one of these races or runs?
Well, more than anything, it's like life. You know, a lot of people, you know, they suffer from depression, but and some need medication for that. I think we all at one time, you know, hit the low spots. But I always try to remind myself that, you know, things will be better tomorrow. And it's the same thing like with ultra running or mountaineering. You may hit a very, very tough, difficult spot. And you say to yourself, you know, I just want to quit. I can't put up with this anymore. And so I just remind myself that, you know, the next mile, the next 2 miles or something, you know, I'll come around. And usually that's exactly what happens. Now, having said that, in my book, Both Feet on the Ground, I also deal with or talk about not only the fear, but failure, and how failure is an integral part of life. And I always say to other people, don't be afraid to fail, because when I fail, I inevitably learn much more than what I've learned with my successes.
Gotcha. So what books have you read recently that you enjoyed, either fiction or nonfiction?
Gosh, I haven't had a whole lot of time to read books in quite a long time. I think there's, you know, there's a good book out there. There's Once a Runner. Of course, Chris McDougall, I've read his book. That's about running also. But a lot of my life has been based on, and I mention it in both books, Call of the Wild by Jack London. He has that, it's life seen through a sled dog's eyes. And even when I was 5 years old, I dreamed about climbing Mount Everest. And I had this book from Jack London, and I wanted to be, you know, that dog out there, you know, just experiencing all these things and, you know, had courage and bravery and all that. Of course, you know, that hasn't always played out like I'd like it to. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't feel like I have any courage at all. But at least, you know, I'd like to give myself enough credit to say that I'm still out there pitching.
So where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your book?
Well, they can go on the website. We're just in the process of updating it. It's just Marshall Ulrich. com, so they can see a little bit about the books, a little bit about my life. Probably way more than, you know, what they want to know or whatever. It's just kind of overkill. They can get the books on Amazon, of course, and Both Feet on the Ground. What I did is I waited to roll it out until I not only had a paperback, but a hardcover, and it's on Kindle. But most importantly, it's also on audio as well as running on empty. And so, you know, they can essentially go to the website and get way more information than they probably would want to.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Marshall Ulrich, author of Both Feet on the Ground, Reflections from the Outside. The book is available now, so go buy a copy. And Marshall, thanks for doing this interview.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It was a pleasure, and I just like to speak to your audience and say, you know, get outside as often as you can and for as long as you can.
Great. Thanks a lot.
If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. Listen to audiobooks during your commute, while doing chores, walking the dog, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free Libro.fm app. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out recommendations and curated lists from people who know audiobooks best, your local bookseller. Reading and Writing Podcast special offer: get two audiobooks for the price of one with your first month of membership with code RWPODCAST. That's code RWPODCAST for two audiobooks for the price of one for your first month of membership at Libro.fm.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.